Now we're going to be talking about the believer prospering this morning and over the next few Sundays. Now this verse it covers three specific areas concerning the believer. Now, when a lot of people look at this verse, they say, "Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, even your soul prospers." Well, immediately they start thinking finances. Well, there are some conditions to this verse here. But the three areas that it covers your health, it covers the spiritual aspects of your life, and then it covers everything else. So this verse is covering every aspect of your life. And this morning, we're going to be looking mostly at the part of it that's the everything else. But with a main focus, we're going to talk about finances this morning, okay? But this is not going to be the end of what we talk about with regards to this verse. We're going to talk about the health aspects of it, and we're going to be talking about the spiritual aspects of it also in the coming weeks. But we're going to start with the practical, because I think that when it comes to finances, everybody deals with finances. Does everybody deal with money throughout their lives, their weeks, their days? Somewhere along the line, money's involved in your life. And so we're going to be talking about that first. That's going to be our first focus. But the thing that I want you to see in this verse here, it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." So the health and the everything else is dependent on your soul or your spirit prospering. If your spirit, man, your soul is not prospering, then you can't prosper in the everything else and the health part of it, because you don't know what the Word says about the health and the everything else. So you've got to be in the Word to know what it says about the health and know what it says about everything else prospering before you can take part in it. So there's a condition to this. Everybody talks about prosper and be in health, even... We all want to prosper. Anybody need money in your life? I do. I got a lot of heads. I'm agreeing with me. If we didn't need money, then why go to work? But anyway. But our soul, our spirit man has to prosper in order for us to prosper in our health and in order for us to prosper in everything else in our lives. So if you're not in the Word, and you don't know what the Word of God says about your health, and you don't know what it says about your finances, you don't know what the Word of God says about your relationships, you don't know what the Word of God says about your emotional status. If you don't know, because believe it or not, your relationships, you can prosper in relationships, and you can be bankrupt in your relationships. But if your soul is prospering, your spirit is prospering, you're getting the Word of God on the inside of you, you're renewing your mind, which gets down into your spirit, if that's what's on the inside of you, then those other things, those other areas in your life will begin to prosper, because you'll start believing that that Word is true. If the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. I don't care what circumstances say. I don't care what your checkbook looks like. I don't care what your friendships look like. If you're pursuing God and His righteousness, then all these other things will line up with the Word of God. But if you're not prospering in your spirit, if you're not prospering in your soul, if your mind isn't being renewed, then you don't know what's available to you to be able to prosper in the other areas. Huh. Seeking God through His Word and talking to him. I've been out on the, most of you know I play disc golf. I like to play disc golf. And I was over here at Lakeland College one day, out there by myself, throwing the frisbee around, and I'm talking to God. And I wasn't quiet. Top of my lungs, I'm out on the golf course. "Hey, yeah, God, you said, hey, how's it going today?" Anybody ever talk to God and say, "How's it going today?" Why not? It's conversation, right? People try to over-spiritualize prayer. Stop it! Prayer is just talking to God. And you talk to God just like you talk to anybody else. Just don't use certain words. No, I'm just kidding. But you just talk to God like you're talking to everybody else. He's real. He doesn't speak in King James, just so you know. But I'm out on the golf course. I'm talking to God. And I'm like this when I'm talking. You know, my wife's half Italian. Maybe I picked up on some of that. I'm using my hands. But anyway, I'm talking to God out there. And if somebody would have seen me, Man, what in the world is wrong with that nut over there? But I don't care. I'm seeking God. I'm pursuing Him. I'm talking to Him. I've been in His Word. Now I want to have communication with Him. And when I'm doing those things, I've got communication with Him. I'm talking to Him. I'm pursuing Him. Then this all this stuff up here, beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul's prospering. Even as I'm renewing my mind. I got to prosper. I can't help but prosper. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That's the attitude that we have to have. But I don't know that you can have that attitude if you're not seeking Him. It just becomes a saying. It just becomes something that you wear. I've seen those silicone wristband things. I've seen it on those there. It just becomes a bracelet. But when you're pursuing Him and you start to see Him move in your life, man, you can't help but praise! Woo! We just finished praise, right? I believe this is all about praise. I believe the Word, we should be praising, being excited about the Word at all times. But we're going to be talking about these three areas here this morning, not this morning, over the next few weeks. And we want to have a well-balanced diet of the Word. Like I said, some people can overemphasize the, I pray that you prosper in all things. And then they get over here, they're thinking mainly about money. But we want a well-balanced diet because even those things, like I said, the money aspect of it, that doesn't even work if you don't qualify. You got to qualify for this. Well, how do you qualify? Just as your soul prospers. You got to be in the Word. If you want to be prosperous in every area of your life, be in the Word, believe the Word, trust the Word, talk to God, and believe that He is your supplier in every area of your life. But we're going to have a well-balanced diet of the Word in all areas, and that'll cause us to win. That'll cause us to win every time. Anybody like winning? I do. I mean, Shigazira mentioned it twice here today, and Darlene and I, we had a little thing about this too. He said, Shigazira said, it's not a competition. And I told Darlene, one time I said, everything's a competition. I don't like to lose. I don't care what it is. I don't want to lose. When it comes to the things of God, I don't want to lose. Well, if I'm in His Word and I'm seeking His kingdom and His righteousness, I can't lose. I prosper in all things. What's all things? Everything. I promise and prosper in everything. So it's time. It's time for all things to come about in our lives. It's time to exercise our faith for all things. The next things. Saying to the people, guys back there this morning, we shouldn't be next month where we were last month spiritually. We should have advanced. We are, as believers, we should always be advancing. Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to start with verse 12. I don't want to be in this. I go through my life. I have review points, kind of like quarterly. Businesses work with quarterly reports and things like that. I do a quarterly report on my life. Have I advanced in the last 3 or 4 months? Or am I still the same? Am I different? Am I better? Am I worse? Did I slide off on this part over here? But I stop and I take inventory of my life periodically because I don't want to be the same. I want to be constantly advancing. Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse 12, it says, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on. I press on. I'm not staying in one spot. I may not be perfect. I may not have it all together. And some people would say, they would agree with me, may not have it all together, but you know what? I'm going to continue to pursue God, and I'm going to continue to press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Ooh, He's got a plan, and He's got a purpose for me. He's got a plan, and He has a purpose for you. And he's saying here, I'm going to press on. I'm going to keep pursuing that. I'm going to keep going forward because God has that plan and purpose for me. I want to see what it is. Whew. All right. Brethren and sistren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Anybody ever messed up in their life and thought, whew, man, I made a mess of that? He's saying, forget that junk. That's where 1 John 1:9 comes in. That if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, man, that stuff doesn't even exist anymore. Get it out of your head. But he says, forgetting all those things which are behind and reaching forward. The brethren and the sistren are to be pressing on and they're to be reaching forward. So we're moving on to the next things. We're moving on to the all things. Well, part of it is getting into the Word. He's telling you, don't just come to church on Sunday morning. Sit in the seat that you paid for. Leave your bulletin and your empty bottles of water sitting in your seat so that... No, I'm just kidding. You guys don't do that. But it says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. If you struggled financially, if you struggled relationally, find out what the Word of God says about that and reach forward to those things which are ahead. Grab onto it. Reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press forward. The goal for the prize of upward call of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing toward the next things. Pressing toward the all things, like we just read in verse 3 John. Pressing toward the all things. Pressing toward the things naturally and things spiritually. But the things naturally will only come as believers as you've pursued the next things spiritually. So if you want to see growth in your life in a lot of different areas, in the all things, when I say all, plug something into there. Scratch out all and put something in there that you're struggling with in your life right now. And then find out what the Word of God has to say about it. Meditate on that. And then pursue that. Do what the Bible says. Faith without works is dead. If you don't exercise what you believe in, if you don't walk out what the Bible's saying, then it just becomes head knowledge, what they call head knowledge. It's kind of like you study for a history exam. Cram. Take the exam. Columbus who? What year was that? You know, it just becomes head knowledge. It doesn't sink in. So we're pressing forward to the all things spiritually, which in turn will take us to the things, to the all things naturally. Next levels, next things. But we need to look through the eyes of the Spirit. We need to look through the eyes or the lens of the Word. And that's why the title of my sermon is, we need to be Word balanced. All things health and spirit, 3 John. Now you notice the image that I have up there, it shows a big stone over here, and it shows five little stones on the other side. The stone on the left, that's the Word. Yeah, on the left, that's the Word. Everything else is filtered through the Word. What does the Word say about it? I don't care what your friend said. I don't care what your favorite pastor on TV said. I've got favorites that I like to listen to. There's one from Life Point Church that I really like to listen to. But there's lots of them that I like to listen to. But you know what? The bottom line is the Word trumps anything that they have to say. And so I filter everything, balance everything by what the Word says. And when I do that, then I will prosper in all things because my spirit and my soul are prospering. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start with verse 1. Very familiar verse. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our faith is what we use. It's the substance. It's what we use It says here, for the things that we hope for. Oh, so the Bible said, well, what'd that say back over here in 3 John? Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things. So things are okay. I want a new car. Well, that's a thing. What's the Bible say about you having a new car? Well, it doesn't say anything about having a new car. Well, sure it does. My God will supply. If you look at Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things, which is your earthly material things that you need to walk this life out. He says all these things will be provided for you. Sure, the Bible talks about that. So it says here, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, kind of a church word, but what does it really mean? It means to trust, to have a belief in our situation, in God, what He said and done, to have an unquestioning belief that does not require proof, and you're committing to it. I believe what the Bible says no matter what my circumstances are telling me. Boy, that's nuts. Well, that's faith. Because God's made a promise to me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He'll abundantly supply for me. He'll help me maintain my sanity. The Bible talks about a peace that passes all understanding. If you're struggling with your thinking, the Bible talks about that. If you're pursuing God and you're seeking Him in the areas of your life, to know Him, then all these things that you deal with, He's got an answer for it. Then you got things. What are things? They're inanimate objects distinguished from a living being. Stuff and ideas, actions, things. Those are all things. So he's saying here that faith is the substance of the things that we hope for. I pray above all things that you prosper in all things. We can have faith for things. Now, we don't want things to consume us. And if we go on down here to hope, when we look at Bible hope, it's a confident expectation of the thing you're applying your trust or your faith in God to receive. So our faith in God, we're believing God for whatever it is. I mean, I'm believing Him first to pursue my relationship with Him. I want my relationship to be strong with Him. I want to be able to talk to Him just like I would talk to anybody else, and even more intimately talk to Him more than I would talk to anybody else. I want to pursue Him in that way. But just like I had a strong relationship with my dad, I could go into the room and I could ask my dad for anything. Now, he may tell me no, but I still felt comfortable boldly going into his room and saying, hey, can I have fill in the blank? Now, my dad and mom, one year I got up Christmas morning. I didn't see very many Christmas presents under the tree. I didn't see a lump of coal, but I didn't see any Christmas presents under the tree either. But then I go outside and I see a brand new motorcycle sitting outside. I wasn't too sad about not having too many gifts under the tree. My mom and dad just want to give me things. When I'm pursuing God, seeking Him, I walk in the blessing of God. I drive into Walmart parking lot and I get the best spot possible. Now, the best spot for me that day might be that spot at the end of the parking lot because somebody else needed that spot worse than me that was up close to the door. But I fully expect that as I pursue God, as I seek the things of God, I walk in the favor of God. You'll never hear me say I lack in any area. And if I do, correct me, because I don't want that to ever be my vocabulary, that I lack in anything. I lack in no good thing. But then, like you said, we have hope. It's a confident expectation. I have a confident expectation that the things that I'm asking God about, He will supply to me in abundance. Now, based on 3 John, many at this point begin to think, yes, I'm going to get rich using the Bible. No, if that's your attitude, then we got a lot of other things coming into play at that point there. The Bible talks about how, you know, some people say money is the root of all evil. That's not true. The love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. That's what the Bible has to say about this. But we're not going down that road there. We're talking about a well-balanced idea of pursuing God in the different areas of our lives. So our attitude should be that God is willing to bless me, bless us, so that we can have opportunities to be a blessing. Prosperity in any area without eternal purpose leads to disappointment and dissatisfaction. When we prosper in any area of our lives, I should be looking at, okay, God, how do you want me to use that? Whether it's my money, whether it's decisions, whatever it may be, how can I use that to affect somebody's eternal purpose or my eternal purpose? But going down the road of blessing, there's ditches. And we want to be good drivers, staying between the biblical lines. Now, my car, when I drive it down the road, there's two things my car does that I didn't know it did. I can let go of the steering wheel and just go. Now, it'll correct it. If it goes to this line, it'll keep me in between the lanes. But then on the dash, after I do that for a while, it'll say, put your hands on the steering wheel. Kind of says it like that. But the one thing that I notice is that if I am driving and I do start getting close to the sideline, the white line over there, my steering wheel will vibrate. And that's an indication to get back in my lane. If I go over this way, my steering wheel will vibrate. And that's an indication to get back in my lane. The Bible is our guide. The Bible is the guide that vibrates to help us make the corrections when it comes to biblical principles. So we don't want to get in the ditch on this, I'm going to get rich by the Bible. The Bible says I can get rich. Well, you can prosper financially, but what's your purpose? Our purpose should be prosperity with eternal purpose. Now, is it okay to have investments? Sure. Is it okay to have a bank account? Oh, yeah. Is it okay to have a lot of money in savings? Sure. But if the Lord says to give it away, what do? Ooh, eternal purpose. You can't let money have you. You can have money, but you can't let money have you. So we're going to take a few services in discovering the balanced biblical journey to prosperity in a number of areas. You know, some people in church, they don't want to hear about financial prosperity. The old preacher's trying to get into my pocketbook again. I'm not trying to get into your pocketbook. You do what you want with your money. It's your choice. A lot of people don't like to hear about that. But you know what? If you pursue the things of God, He's going to prosper you. We've already talked financially, peace, relationships, all these different things. If you're pursuing Him, He will prosper you financially. I've heard some preachers, I won't say his name, but one preacher in particular, he was fairly famous. If you'll just give $100 right now, you'll just give $1,000 right now, God will send a blessing upon you within the next 24 hours. Run as fast as you can from that guy. He's trying to get into your pocketbook. He's trying to get into your bank account. But God will bless us if we pursue Him. If we, like I said in the very beginning of that verse, the 3 John, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. So we're supposed to prosper there. But the little catch is, just as your soul's prospering, you need to prosper there first before these other things can come into play. We're going to look at Psalm chapter 1. We are going to look here this first week. We are going to talk about finances because everybody deals with finances. And I believe that it's God's will that we do prosper financially. And I'm going to show you a few verses right here where it talks about that. And there's many more. There's so many more I could have put in here, but I gave Ed 15 verses for this morning as it is. Don't even think I'm going to make it through all those. But I did give him a lot. So we're looking at Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. It says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join with the mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. What did we just say about 3 John? about your soul prospering, and then all this health and all these other things, then you'll prosper in those areas as well. That's what he's saying here in Psalm chapter 1, from the very start. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted by the riverbank. If you're a tree planted by the riverbank, you've got that water flowing by there, that roots is absorbing that water, you're growing strong. Trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. You never have an off season. When you're pursuing God, you're delighting yourself in the law of the Lord, you're meditating on His Word day and night, you're a tree planted by the river there, absorbing that the nutrients of that water. It says here that you never have an off season. If that's what's in here. If it's what's in here, and you're looking at what's out there, and you're believing what they're saying out there, and this what was in here never makes it to here, you're going to have an off season. Their leaves never wither. Here we go. And they prosper in all they do. What did it start with? It started with meditating on the Word, delighting in the law of the Lord, the Bible, delight and meditating on it day and night. It starts with that. If you don't start with that, man, you're just hoping. If we look at 3 John 1, 2, we're going to look at that again, and I'm going to read a few more verses. Now, I've got this in the New King James. We're currently going to get that put on the computer back there, but I think they're going to put it up in the King James. But I don't talk in belovedeth and prayeth and theeth and all that type of stuff. So it says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. We've been talking about that. And be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Ooh. The truth that is in you. What's the truth that is in us? The Word. The Bible. Just as you walk in truth. Oh, so you got to know the truth and you got to walk it. Okay, there we go. Now it's starting to make sense. Now it's starting to work for me. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Verse 5. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. Who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. So we're to send people on. This is Gaius. He's talking about Gaius here, who's commended for his generosity. So what it's saying here is that, you know, our soul prospering, we're getting what the Bible has to say about how we're supposed to operate as brethren and sistren. And it talks about in here, sending somebody on their journey in a manner worthy of the Lord, then that means that we have to have something tangibly, spiritually, to give them, to send them on in a manner worthy of the Lord. We want to send people on in a manner worthy of the Lord, which is not lacking in any way, spiritually or physically. That's how we want to send them on. Well, if we're not pursuing God, if our soul is not prospering, then we don't have a generous spirit on the inside of us necessarily. I want to be generous. I want somebody to be able to walk up to me, hey, Rick, you got $100 you can give me right now? Sure do. Here you go. And Carrie's got me a little short right now. I'll have to talk to her about that. But my dad, when he was alive, he always carried a $100 bill in his wallet, just in case somebody needed something. When he passed away, I got that $100 bill, and I added money to that. So I don't know if I'll ever give that $100 bill my dad gave me away, but I'll replace it with something else. But anyway, in a manner worthy of the Lord, you will do well. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. So that's saying that the church needs to be the most generous people here on the earth. Well, how can we be generous if we don't have our spirit renewed, our mind renewed, our soul renewed? Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. We talked about those verses having three things involved there. They're talking about prospering materially, physically, and spiritually. But the other two don't come unless you're prospering spiritually to begin with. We shouldn't lack in any area of our lives. If we're pursuing God through His Word, through talking to Him, through walking out His Word, we should never lack in any area of our lives. If you look at Psalm 23, I don't think I gave them this verse here, but Psalm 23, verse 1, I think you guys know it. It says, and really, probably a lot of people have it on a magnet on their refrigerator. Have it someplace. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is He your shepherd? Okay, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If He's my shepherd and I shall not want, what's that mean? I'll not lack in any area. I always prosper in every way and in every area. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Get that on, get it on. I'm not saying you got it on your refrigerator, but if you do, go look at it on your refrigerator and say, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Meditating means to mumble, to murmur to yourself. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Until it gets down on the inside of you. And then when that thing that comes before you, that need that comes before you, you got word to stand on. And that's what I'm getting to. When you're pursuing God and your soul's prospering, you're pursuing His Word, you're meditating on it day and night, you've got that word on the inside of you so that when circumstances come your way that try to challenge you, whether it's financially, emotionally, whatever it may be, you got that word that rises up out of the inside of you that you speak to that, because the word, Bible says that the word will go forth, it won't return void, it'll accomplish what I send it to do, and it'll prosper in every area. So if it says that the word will prosper in every area, then you've got to say, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it, I spoke the word over that situation has to come in line with the word of God, I will prosper in that area. I will not lack because the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Some people lean heavy on the financial side of it, though. They go into a ditch. They ignore the vibration of the steering wheel, which is the word. We need to keep each of these areas in line, balanced. Those three things there cover every area of our lives, just so you know. All things, health, and spirit. We need to maintain a balance. If we're not blessed financially, we can't be a blessing to somebody else. I want to be a blessing to somebody. If we're not blessed spiritually, how can we be an encouragement to someone else? We need to be encouragement to someone else. So we need to seek God's word to see how we can prosper in every area of our life. Prosperity with eternal purpose. Like I said, it's okay to have stuff. As long as the stuff doesn't have you, we've heard that before. It's okay to have stuff, but I want that stuff, finances, whatever it may be, material, I want them to have an internal purpose. I want to be able to say, oh, that person there, they don't have a car. Man, they're out there trying too, and they don't have a car. I want to be able to say, oh, here, let me sign this title over to you. Here's the car keys. Have a good time. Now, I like that Ford Explorer Timberline series out there right now. But if God says sign that title over, somebody's getting a car. I have a pastor friend of mine that he loves to play guitar. He's had some expensive guitars. He probably in his home right now has 7 or 8 guitars, plus another 4 or 5 at the church that he has over there. Probably has a dozen guitars. But you know what? He's gave away more than that. And the Lord just keeps bringing guitars back to him. He likes to be a blessing that way. I believe any prosperity we receive in the Word of God comes through obedience to the Word. Now you think about it, you could say that Adam and Eve, they had that proverbial silver spoon in their mouths. They had it made. They had everything at their fingertips. They would have never had wanted for anything. Their children would have never have wanted for anything. I heard, anybody ever heard of Garth Brooks? He made a statement one time. He says, I've got enough money for my grandchildren's grandchildren. Whew, that's some deep pockets. Well, guess what? God's got more than that. But they would not have known the meaning of lack. Abundance and full provision would have just been normal for them. But because they were disobedient, they got the boot, got kicked out of paradise, and then here we are today. Now, can you imagine, though, a world or a life of full supply? I mean, you don't have to think about the price of eggs. I guess the price of eggs have gone down, about half of what they were. Wouldn't have to worry about the price of gas, if you could afford a home, the price of a car. I mean, price of cars has really skyrocketed as well. You would never have had to worry or be concerned about any of that. But you know what? This is how God intended it to be from the beginning. And you know what? We're in a position right now where it can be like that again. Because Jesus came and paid the price for put us back in right standing with God. We were never meant from the very beginning of time to struggle. But because of their disobedience, they struggled. Because of our disobedience, we struggle. If we're brethren and sistren, then we should be pursuing the things of God. And when we pursue the things of God, we won't struggle. We're going to go through some stuff because the Bible says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. That's a little nutty. But it says it. So, obedience. So what is we're talking about? We're going to talk about finances this morning, and we may have to talk about it just a little bit next week because I'm not going to get quite done here. But what is a basic area of obedience that we can start at in order to start receiving the blessings of God? And I got to thinking about that. A basic area of obedience to start receiving the blessings of God is in our tithe. Well, Rick, the Bible doesn't talk about the tithe in the New Testament. We go by 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, or 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. Well, I'm going to show you here in just a little bit where it talks about, I'm going to show you next week where it talks about how we're to give not grudgingly. Give with cheerfully. Give that way. I'm going to talk about that. And we should give cheerfully. We shouldn't be giving grudgingly. But those verses don't talk about tithing. Has nothing to do with tithing. Oh, I didn't know that. We'll get into that. But those verses had nothing to do with tithing. When you start talking about tithing, we got to go back to Genesis. And we're going to look at it here just real quick. I got a few minutes left here. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 14. That's where tithing began. And you know what? The tithe was long before the law. It was long before the law of Moses. Now the law of Moses, they adopted the tithe in so many different ways. The Levites, they adopted the tithe in so many different ways. And we get into Malachi chapter 3, which we're going to touch on that. Talking about the tithe, nowhere does it say the tithe ended. Okay. That preacher's trying to get into my pocket again. No, I'm not. I'm not, and I'll show you. I'll give you some examples here in just a minute. But let's get into Genesis chapter 14. We're looking at Abraham. We're looking at Melchizedek. It says, after Abraham returned from his victory over Kedorlaomer and all his allies, the king of Sodom, went out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is, the king's valley. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and a priest of the Most High, brought Abraham some bread and wine. Melchizedek blessed Abraham with this blessing. Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High who has defeated your enemies for you. Then Abraham gave. What did he give? Then Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth or a tithe of all the goods he had recovered. Hebrews chapter 7. It says, for this Melchizedek king, going to the New Testament now. They're talking about this tithe thing in the New Testament. They didn't let it go. The tithe didn't end. And I'm telling you, this is something that the Lord revealed to me probably 4 or 5 months ago, because I was kind of in that camp a little bit of, well, we need to give cheerfully and not grudgingly as we purpose in our heart. I'm not saying anybody has to tithe, but I'm going to tell you some benefits to tithing here in just a little bit. It says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First being translated, king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning or date of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Priest continually. So it's ongoing. What happened here is ongoing. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi who received the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes from the people. Huh. According to the law, that is from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him. So there's a blessing in the tithe. Okay. Who had the promise? Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here mortal men receive tithes. But there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, before the law. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. The tithe came before the law of Moses. The tithe was adopted by the law of Moses. Levi the priest received tithes from the people after it was adopted by the law of Moses. It never ended. Now, we love our verse in Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. And that is true. Well, let's read a few verses before that. Starting with verse 6. It says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Oh, if he doesn't change, then what Abraham and Melchizedek were doing, okay. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances. What's an ordinance? Communion, baptism, tithes, ordinances, and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob? Or you could say, would a man steal or deprive or cheat God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Huh. Okay. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that you will have not enough room to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer. Anybody who tries to come against you because you've come in line with my word, I will rebuke the devourer. I will rebuke that one that comes and tries to steal from you. For your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. You'll always have a harvest. You'll always be blessed. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed. For you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. What brought that upon? What brought that on? Being obedient to the word. Being obedient to what God says to do. I'm not trying to get in your pocket. Carrie and I, we've always, from the very beginning, we've always given a tenth of our monthly income and more. But it's not even a question when it comes time for tithes and offerings. If we made $100, we gave $10 to the church. If we made $5,000, we gave $500 to the church. That's just the way we've always been. And then we give into the building fund every Wednesday night. It automatically comes out of our checking account and goes into Tithely every Wednesday night. We give to the building fund. That's our offerings. We're not robbing God with our tithes and offerings. So, you know, God says that, says, if you, then I will. I'm going to say something. I almost hesitated, but I'm not going to hesitate because the Lord had me write this down. I'm going to say something that might be a little bristly. And don't get mad at me. Everybody say it. Everybody loves Pastor Rick. Whew. Okay. I want you to ponder this. If you're not giving a tenth, then according to this verse in Malachi, you're not eligible for the windows of heaven blessing. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We'll tag that right on there with it. But is it the Bible or isn't it the Bible? Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you where you're at in your life right now, if you say, man, I just don't see how I can give a tenth. Well, then don't give a tenth right now. Feed on the Word. Build your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when you feed on the Word, you spend time in the presence of God, it says you seek Him and His righteousness, then all the things that you need will be added to you. And then you'll have money to give to whatever. But Carrie and I, we took the grandkids to the movies yesterday. Lilo and Stitch. Anyway. But we took them to the movies yesterday. Anybody been to the movies lately and bought popcorn? Whoo! Four grandkids. And Carrie, I don't think Carrie got anything. I got a bag of popcorn because I like popcorn. The movie and the concessions. $75. And that was cheap. I think to get into the movie there was various price ranges. Anyway, anywhere from $4 to $6 to get into the movie. So they get you on the concessions. You might get in cheap, but they get you on the concessions. But she kind of joked, you know, Carrie made a joke about it and kind of laughed and, you know, $75. And then she said, but then here's what she said. That's okay. God has blessed us abundantly. It's gotten into her here. It's into me here. I'll never say I'm broke. I'll never say I lack. I'll never say I don't have. I'll say that God says, if I seek Him, all these things will be taken care of. He says that if I give, He's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour a blessing out on me so much that I can't contain it. He says in Philippians, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And if you look at the verses prior to that, it's because the Philippian people were givers. They were giving people. So we joked about that, but that's what came out of her mouth. We've been blessed abundantly. Does He want to bless us more? He wants to bless us more because I want to be able to give more. She, and like I said, she knows I give money away, so she's believing that we're abundantly blessed more. We're still talking about balanced prosperity. We're still talking about all things. We're still going to be talking about health. We're still going to be talking about being balanced in the things of the Spirit. But I wanted to touch on this morning because it's something that touches each and every one of us every day is our finances. And if we want to be blessed in our finances, then we need to see what the Word of God has to say about our finances. And then do what the Word of God has to say about our finances. So nobody's mad at Pastor Rick, right? Okay, that's good. I didn't hear a hearty amen out of that, but nobody's mad at Pastor Rick right now. I'm going to land this plane because I've given you two more. We're 2 minutes over, so I'll give you 2 minutes back next week. But God has full supply available to us. And if we're going to look at this verse here, this is going to be our key verse for this probably the next 2 weeks. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. I want to prosper in all things and in every way. And I'm not talking just about financial. Like I said, I touched on finances this morning because that's something that touches every one of our lives every day. And I gave you some Bible on what it says about our finances. And if you want these verses, you can come copy them down, or Ed's got a big old list of them back there in the back. We can make copies of those things. But I want to prosper in all areas and in all things. But I'm not going to prosper in anything if my spirit, if my soul's not prospering. So that's what comes first. You prosper spiritually before any of this other stuff falls in line. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it's true. Sometimes, Father, your word, as we speak it, we talk about it, we read it. Sometimes it's a little uncomfortable. But Father, I thank you that your word's true. And that as I walk out your word, as we walk out your word, we know that we can prosper in every area of our lives. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be concerned where the next thing is coming from, because you said that you would supply it. So, Father, as we meditate on your word, as we dive into your word, we enter it with the idea of your word says it, I'm going to believe it, and that's going to settle it. But Father, I don't know everybody in this room here this morning. You do. And with heads bowed, eyes still closed, I don't like to end any service without giving people the opportunity, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, to come down to this altar, and I want to pray with you. And you're going to receive Jesus as your Savior. And the things that we've talked about here this morning, they'll become available to you at that point. But if you don't know Jesus as Savior, you don't have that assurance that when you leave this earth that you'll spend eternity with Him. None of this really means anything this morning. It may have been a good speech, but when He becomes Savior of your life, when He becomes your Lord and Savior, you accept Him, then all this applies and so much more.